So reading is from Paul's letter to Philemon. It's on page 1200 of the Pew Bibles, just before Hebrews, if you're using your own Bible. Paul's letter to Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because to hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I'm sending him, with my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you would do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He's very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man, as a brother in the Lord. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him back as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I'll pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you and answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. So do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit.
This little letter, Philemon, is the third shortest, 333 words in the original language. And it's a very personal letter. I'm sure you got that when Ralph read it to you. It's a very personal letter. This letter came alongside another letter we know fairly well in the New Testament. It came alongside the book that we know as Colossians. Both letters were delivered at the same time to the same church. One to the church at large in Colossae, and one to this individual, Philemon, who, by all accounts, was involved in hosting that church in his house. We see that in verse 2, kind of to the church that meets in your home. He is the one that hosts this church. And in this letter, I want us to just try and see two very simple things that Paul and Timothy write. This man, Philemon. The first is being part of the fellowship of believers is unique. Being part of the fellowship of believers is unique. I'm sure the warmth that this letter is written in kind of comes across when you read it. There's a warmth beneath it, a warmth beneath the words. And Paul and Timothy write, certainly the first part of it, they're keen to acknowledge the friendship that exists between Philemon and between them, Paul and Timothy. It's a great example of how to write a letter well, because there's hard stuff in it, and yet the warmth beneath it flows through. Some of us struggle to write emails well. Some of us find it hard to text well. Some of them seem quite abrupt, don't they? But here is a letter that is full of love, full of warmth, despite some difficult things that it's raised. Because he's a dear worker, he's a fellow worker. Did you see that in verse 1? To Philemon, our dear friends. and our fellow worker. This friendship is thought to have begun when Paul was preaching in Ephesus. We can read accounts of that in the book of Acts. And Philemon, for some reason, was in Ephesus on business. And he happened to hear Paul deliver one of his kind of famous preaches. And Philemon heard this offer of good news through Jesus Christ that Paul was preaching. And he became a believer. Not only that, but he then became involved somehow in Paul's work. So he worked alongside Paul, maybe in Ephesus for a few years, maybe on a few of his journeys. But that came to an end, and he then went back home, it seems, to Colossae, and began hosting this church in his home. The reason we tell that story is that it just is a strong bond beneath this letter, a strong bond beneath this man Philemon. And it comes across in the way that they give thanks for him. Do you see in verse 4 and 5? Fairly familiar language in Paul's letters. He often says these words, but notice there's a certain care in these ones. So he says, "I always thank my God," verse 4, "as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus." Paul and Timothy express something to Philemon here of the uniqueness that binds them together. Here is a man who has heard the gospel, been changed by the gospel, and he amazingly is known for his love and his care for his fellow believers. We read a little bit further on in verse 6 and 7, how he is described as a refresher of the hearts of believers. A refresher. You ever had a refresher? You know those little sweets? I don't find them particularly refreshing. They're kind of more sour. But they get your juices going, don't they? They refresher sweets. A bit like having a sour sweet. Or if you've been outside on a warm day like it is today, sometimes you need that little bit of refreshment. Going into the shade sometimes provides that refreshment. Drinking a cool drink provides that refreshment. If you were on the youth weekend the last weekend, then diving into the sea produced that refreshment you needed on a warm day. Those things bring refreshment to our bodies. They soothe us. They cool us down. And that's how Philemon is described to his fellow believers. He is a refreshment to them. And in many ways, Paul and Timothy, when they hear of how Philemon goes around and loves those around him and is that refreshment, they are refreshed when they hear that of him. When they hear of what Philemon is like, he brings refreshment, even though there's a wide chasm between where they exist. And Paul's prayer for him in verse 6 is very sweet. "I pray that your partnership," kind of sometimes known as fellowship, "with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing that we share for the sake of Christ Jesus." There's a fellowship that believers have that is unique. And it's not just that Paul and Timothy and Philemon know of that fellowship. Actually, no, that's something that we all should know. If you were here at the wedding yesterday, that was a special occasion. The place was full, it was very warm, but it was a special occasion. Most weddings, it's a good chance to get dressed up, isn't it? Some of us. You get dressed up, you might even be complimented on your appearance. "Oh, you look nice." Someone said to me, "Oh, you scrub up well." I couldn't work out whether that was a compliment or a slur on how I usually look. It's a chance to see old friends, isn't it? We saw that, people mixing. Weddings are special, but what ultimately makes weddings special is everyone is there for the same reason. Everyone is there for the same purpose. Everyone has the same goal as they sit down, as they sing, as they talk afterwards, as they join in with the vows that are given. There's a shared commonality that's unique. But if you like, when we gather as church, there's no reason why that special occasion, that wedding occasion, isn't replicated time after time after time. We have that common goal as believers, that common purpose. We're gathering to encourage each other. We have that common goal of encouraging each other to keep going, to keep living in obedience with what we've been called to keep seeing Jesus clearly, as we've just heard. And that's what Paul is communicating to Philemon here. He's saying, there's a special bond that we have that's unique to us as Christians. The church is that body of believers. And if we want to push that metaphor of marriage through a little bit clearer, the Bible tells us very clearly that we are the bride. Every Sunday, every time we meet, we are gathering as the bride of Christ. There's a specialness. There's a specialness. That should bring that specialness, that uniqueness of relationship as we gather and say, how have we been getting on? Have we seen Jesus clearly? I didn't know Nigel was going to say that earlier. But again, it fits in so well. Have we seen Jesus this week? How have you been going in your walk, in your faith? And CBC is just a small, tiny part of a massive universal church. Because the church community, for the fellowship of believers, has that uniqueness. I trust you know something of that. That joy, that gift of being part of another set of believers. Believers who share the same beliefs, who trust in the same God, who want the same things. That's unique. But then Paul and Timothy move on to something a little bit harder. Because remembering that fellowship that's so special also requires relationships of love and forgiveness. Again, there's a story behind what's going on here. So Philemon is a rich man in that first century, probably owned slaves. And one of those slaves, Onesimus, has run away in the past. This wasn't unusual. Slaves often tried to flee. But he seems to have maybe gone and stolen stuff as he's gone. He wasn't a believer at this time. But in some sort of strange twist, Onesimus has come across Paul. And Onesimus has been converted under Paul and in fact been kind of a servant in Paul's work. And he's even, in verse 10, become like a son, Paul describes him. But Paul is now sending Onesimus, this former slave, back to Philemon. It may well be that Philemon still had the legal right over Onesimus, so he's sending him back. We don't know the reasons why, but Paul makes it clear he's sending him back to Philemon. Now, how would you have reacted if you were Philemon? The runaway slave, the slave that may have stolen stuff from you being returned, but also then being told, well, he's a believer now, it's okay. Well, that's the thing that Paul is trying to help Philemon to work through. Because no one likes to be wronged, do they? Have you ever been wronged? Have you ever been insulted in some way? Ever been rejected or made to feel hurt? It's a nasty feeling, isn't it? It causes hurt inside. It's great pain sometimes. It causes us to feel negativity towards those people who've hurt us. And maybe you've been so hurt that actually it's too painful even to come into contact with some people. And we don't know if Philemon felt this way about this runaway slave, Onesimus. But we do notice that Paul's encouragement is that he needs to be welcomed. You see that in verse 17? If you consider me a partner, he says to Philemon, welcome him as you would welcome me. Paul uses other very persuasive language in this letter. But at the heart of Paul's request is for Onesimus to be accepted, to be forgiven for what he's done in the past. Not only that, but to be welcomed as a fellow believer as part of that church that meets in Philemon's house. As we might read, we might kind of practically agree in theory, this is a good thing for Paul to say. I can see the sense in this. This is a good thing. And yet we know that if we've been on the receiving end of being hurt, and if we've been on the receiving end of maybe feeling aggrieved, actually this is quite a painful request that Paul makes. You ever had to forgive someone? Someone in the workplace maybe that you've worked alongside who's caused you a bit of grief, a bit of pain? Maybe the words they've used or they're just their attitude towards you causes that pain, doesn't it? Forgiving them is hard. But I think we probably all know that sometimes the hardest place to forgive people is in the church. Because we see them day to day. We see them kind of week to week. And maybe we even have to serve alongside them. And for some reason, maybe right reasons, we hold our other believers, other brothers and sisters in Christ, we hold them to quite high standards. And so when we feel let down, that hurts quite significantly. But the reminder here that Paul says to Philemon is the church is not full of perfect people. I hope that this church doesn't give that impression. We're not here to say that we're perfect. People say clumsy things, don't they? People say hurtful things. We may feel excluded by different groups from within the church, sometimes deliberately, sometimes just without a thought. But what makes the church unique is that everyone knows that we're sinful. We're not claiming to be perfect. We know that we need to know Christ more and that he needs to be in our lives. And as Paul writes to Philemon, we see that it's these church relationships that are so key in order to make the church this unique place. Place of forgiveness, a place of love. Now we might well be a Philemon, someone who's been hurt. Who some ways has been wronged. And the question as we ask this is, are we prepared to do what Philemon is being asked to do here? To love and to forgive. Or are we instead going to let that hurt turn into more bitterness? That's what happens, doesn't it? It's hard to live with that bitterness towards someone else. Now you may well know the football manager, Alex Ferguson. You heard of him? Famous football manager of Manchester United. Known for his love? Not really. He was known for his ruthlessness. If someone wronged him, and there are many stories about this, if someone wronged him, then there was only one end product. You were going to leave the club. That was the result of wronging or getting on the wrong side of Alex Ferguson. But the church isn't like that. The church isn't called to be like that. Turn with me back in your Bibles to Colossians. We mentioned that Philemon and Colossians go together. And here's where we find some helpful thoughts to the church in general. Colossians chapter 3, which in the church Bibles is 1184. So at the same time as Philemon receives this letter, this is what the church receives. This is what the church hears. And turn down to chapter 3, verse 13. Or let's start at verse 12. Therefore, Paul writes to the church in Colossae, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then read, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. It's interesting, isn't it, how Philemon's being encouraged to do this, but also the church is being encouraged to do this at the same time. Because being at church, being part of a church, being a part of the fellowship of believers is hard sometimes. But the encouragement that Paul lays down here in Colossians and the encouragement he lays down to Philemon is bear with one another. Literally, endure patiently with one another. That means forgiving those who've upset us in the past. Maybe this morning. Maybe 10 years ago. Not holding things against them. That's what he's been told to do with Philemon, this new convert, who he could hold a grudge against. It means maybe not holding people's messy lives that they've inherited before they became a Christian, not holding that against them. That's a real danger in church. That we look at someone and we look at what they are now and we think, oh, that's great. But then we look at their baggage sometimes that comes with a new believer, a new convert. And we're kind of a bit more hesitant. Oh, I'm not sure. Well, part of being a church is being able to see through that. And as we look to try and do that, as we look to try and be those who love and forgive, we ask ourselves, how have I been treated? Not by those around me, but how have I been treated by God? What things have I been forgiven for? And if you flick to Colossians chapter 1, we'll end with these verses. This is the biggest motivation that Paul can give for helping Philemon, for helping this church in Colossae, for helping us to see the importance of being that fellowship of believers, of being unique in the way that we operate, of being those who love and forgive. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And Paul says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, because of your past. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish, and free from accusation. That's how we've been treated by God. Taken from being alienated from him to be accepted, reconciled, redeemed, as we're hearing this morning. And Paul says, that's how you need to treat each other. Always having that as your motivation. Remember how you've been treated. Now do that with others. Yes, even those who've wronged you. Even those who it's hard to forgive. Because the fellowship of believers is unique. And the fellowship of believers, maintaining that fellowship requires love. Requires that forgiveness that's been modeled to us, that we know a taste of through Christ. That's what Paul wants for Philemon. That's what Paul wants the churches, not in Colossae, but all over the place, to be places of. And that even reaches CBC. Places of, or relationships of forgiveness. Relationships of genuine love for each other. We were due to sing to close, but I'm going to do something maybe a little bit different. I'm going to encourage us to think about some of the things we've heard then, and just to spend a few minutes just in quiet, just prayerfully thinking, maybe even prayerfully praying, responding, thanking God for the way that he's treated us, but also maybe thinking, actually, are there relationships, are there areas that this is pressing hard on me in, places where I need to love people more? People I need to forgive as I've been forgiven. At the end of that few minutes, I'll close our time in prayer. Our Father God, we do thank you and we praise you for everything you have done for us. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for that great sacrifice he made on our behalf. We thank you that he is an ever-present in our lives through your Spirit. And we do pray that you would help us to see Jesus more week by week, day by day, even now. That you may help us to get a fresh taste of that forgiveness that we've been given on the way that you have amazingly treated us as people who were once your enemies, but now we can call you Father. Father God, we do pray that you would help us never to forget that. And we dare to ask that you would help us to apply that in the relationships we have. Be that relationships outside, but also, as this letter was saying, relationships inside our church, your church. Would you help our relationships to be those loving ones, to be those encouragements, to be that refreshment to each other that Philemon was to those other believers, to be those people who are willing to forgive, even when it's hard. Would you help us to do that? And would you help us to be able to do that because we're constantly remembering how we've been treated, the grace that we have been shown. So we ask for your help in this. We're aware of our weakness in this, but we do trust that you will continue to work and to continue to be a presence in our lives. We ask this in your name. Amen.